Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the studio and another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hal. Today we have a guest, Samir Yediv. He is the marketing director of Mondelez Kindo Vietnam. Mondelez, no stranger. They make a bunch of your favorite snack products. You probably have some while you're watching this or listening to this podcast right now, actually. But also Kindo. They've come together as of 2015. Yep. They're now, by most measures, if not all measures, the biggest snacking company in the world, especially in Vietnam as well. A lot of insights that we want to ask Samir and learn from him today. I'll let him just kind of jump in now. Samir, welcome to the studio.
Thanks so much, Alan. Thanks so much for inviting me. I'm looking forward to our interaction.
You know, it's only been 6 months in Vietnam for you, and that's when we like to catch people like you on the show because, you know, we've had guests on the show that have been here decades, and that's great too. But we always like to get that fresh perspective because, you know, you've been studying the Vietnam market, I'm sure, well before you arrived. You get here, your perspectives and insights might change based on what you've experienced. And of course, you arrived just when essentially the borders reopened. So we'd love to get your fresh perspective on that as well. Samir, before we do that, let's just get a quick intro from you. How long have you been at Mondelez? You know, what have you been doing, and what's your role now?
Hey, thanks. So yeah, I'm an Indian by nationality, and I've been with Mondelez for more than 19 years. Mm-hmm. When I say Mondelez, of course, I started my career with Cadbury, which then got took over by Kraft, and then we got split into Kraft and Mondelez, and now I'm in Mondelez Kindo. Mm-hmm. So yes, I've traveled a bit, I would say, in terms of various organizations while staying in the same organization. Mm. Majorly, I've been into commercial roles in sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. So almost 40% of my time has been in sales and 60% of the time in brand building and with consumers. Mm. I managed in my past brands like Oreo and Cadbury. Mm. And before moving to actually Vietnam, I was managing Cadbury equity and activation for India business, mm-hmm. which is one of the biggest businesses for us globally when it comes to the chocolate category. Mm. So yeah, it has been an interesting journey. I'm married and I've got two kids, both are going to school.
Okay. Welcome to Vietnam for all of them.
Oh yeah, I mean, you asked me that, how do I feel in Vietnam and when I landed. Mm. To be honest, as much as academic research you might do about the country, mm-hmm. but when you land in the country, it's a completely different place. Mm. I mean, I can say I've been lucky enough to, have come to Vietnam because it's a very warm country, very dynamic, buzzing, youthful country. Consumers have got a lot of aspirations. I mean, generally the population wants to do a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what I'm liking is, I would say, the people and the food. Mm-hmm. And of course, fantastic cities.
From India, which is where you relocated, you're from India, of course, too, but... What are the perspectives of your colleagues in India when you told them you were coming to Vietnam? What did they say? What were their reactions? I'm curious from an outside perspective.
Very interesting question. Mm. I mean, I would say Vietnam is a quite well-kept secret, to this world.
Okay, to the whole world.
To the whole world. I mean, yeah. I don't know whether it's about Vietnam not marketing that well as a country to India. Off late, I think we are doing fantastically
They've
well.
They bought new flights now.
Recently, we got now direct flights from Bombay, Delhi, and Calcutta, so which is interesting, but I don't think it was there before. So yeah, I mean, people have heard a little bit about Vietnam, and I think it's more related to the Vietnam War and stuff like that, but I don't think they know much about the country.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, how are you going to be there, language, food, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, personally, I always get excited with the unknown and the challenges. And I love to travel. My wife loves to travel. So yeah, we were we hopped onto the flight and here we are.
Exactly. Samir, thank you for sharing a bit about the journey. I mean, we mentioned offline, you've been at Mondelez for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about Mondelez Kindo, especially in the context of Vietnam. You know, people like us in the business community, yes, no stranger to those names, right? And you can say the same actually about consumers, but there's so many brands within that group. Could you highlight a couple just so, those listening in, you mentioned Oreo, Cadbury. What are a couple of others, best sellers or most popular in Vietnam?
Yeah, so I think, we are the number one snacking company even in Vietnam, basis the data that we get. Mm-hmm. And when we say Mondelez Kindle, I mean, it's like a mix of a global giant and a local giant. I mean, to put it in perspective, I think Mondelez is a jewel in the crown of Kindle. So the crown is really Kindle. And we have got, you know, brands like Solite, Cozy, AFC. We are into, you know, Mooncakes. We are into Tet in a big, big, big way with, you know, Kindle offerings. And of course, we have got global brands like Oreo and Cadbury and Trident and Tang. So it was like, you know, when these two organizations joined hand, or let's say, you know, when we acquired the Kindle business here, it was about the understanding of Kindle, you know, regarding the consumers of the country, regarding the products and the distribution. And we basically wanted to also bring our, I mean, when I say our, I mean the Mondelez global brands to the consumer. So yeah, it's a nice mix.
Okay. Yeah. So quite a few brand names there. I'll be eating some Oreos all the time, actually. I always have some in my fridge.
You should definitely try a Oreo challenge, which we are doing right now with Fuwin, who is a basketball player.
Okay.
I mean, he's challenging you to make a tower as tall as him.
Okay. We'll have to do that. Look out for that, guys. Let's talk about the market, or rather, sorry, perspective of Vietnamese culture, especially the heritage of the Kindle brand you mentioned. What does the Kindle brand mean to the average Vietnamese customer? You know, I mentioned it's a household name.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why has it continued to prosper and be important elements of like Mooncakes? It's Mooncake season. Why is that? Why is such a heritage
I think,
brand?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. So, you know, when we talk to consumers about Kindle, you know, the words that come to their mind are, of course, heritage, quality, trust. But, you know, it's also about the connections, togetherness, I mean, family. I think when this business started, and I know Mooncakes, we started selling in sometime in 1999 in the country. You know, it was about the organization, the Kindle, you know, bringing in products and trying to connect with the consumers in the two biggest occasions. One is the Mooncakes, which is the mid-autumn season, and the other one is the Tet. I think that has caught the imagination of the consumers because these are two occasions. And leave brands. I think these are the two occasions when people come together, you know, they want to meet family, they travel around. And I think that's where Kindle found its anchor by providing products and communicating to the consumers, you know, how you can be together in those occasions. So that's what I would say, that, you know, consumers think about it as a brand which is which inspires them to be close, to be together, to connect more. It has a very warm and fuzzy and a homely feeling.
Yeah, and it's been there for decades.
It's been there for decades. And the quality of the products, I mean, especially, let's say, Cozy or Solite or AFC, I mean, is there for everybody to vouch. So
my next question for you, Samir, it's a bit of a left field question. Not that hard. I think you know how to answer this, hopefully. How do you innovate on a brand that's been so entrenched in a good way, as a household name for so many decades? How do you continue that association, that excitement? Innovation, keyword. How do you continue to innovate at Mondelez Kindle?
For sure. I think, and you're asking me specifically about the products part.
Yes.
Because, I mean, one of the things when people talk about the word innovation, you know, usually it's about products. But we as an organization look at innovation for products also, for processes also, for marketing also. For every touch point. But specifically to your question on products, I think globally, I mean, and because we operate in more than 150 countries, so we have a lot of insights and data around that. I think this is the most dynamic time to be in. Consumers are trying everything new. They are ready to, you know, not stick to their, you know, whatever they liked or in the past. They want to experiment. And thanks to the lot of media and internet opening up, you know, the world, you know, the food shows you see, you're watching a movie and you suddenly see a sandwich, you know, you're watching a Korean show and you talk about bulgogi, and, you know, you're watching something Japanese and you talk about something else. So when it comes to innovation for us on products, what we look at both things: one, what is right now in trend, but secondly, what is also is going to be there in the future, what is a fad, and what is going to stay? Because ultimately,
are you able to disclose any of those? Market intelligence, no. High level.
No. I mean, yeah. I don't think that there are any particular. I mean, you go out on the street, and you will see in one line. There's a Japanese restaurant, there's a Korean restaurant, there's a Chinese restaurant, there's Indian food which is, you know, picking up, and of course there is, you know, boncha and pho selling. So that automatically tells you, you know, how the culture is evolving, how consumers are evolving when it comes to food and snacking.
They're quite globally curious.
Yeah. So, I mean, we sell butter cookies, for example, in Lu. And, you know, it's a recipe which we developed in, you know, for example, France. And people love that. So it's a mixture of a lot of things. How we go about it is simple. Is that, you know, it should be something which consumers like. Develop something which is of high quality. And develop something, you know, I mean, depending on which tier you want to play, whether premium or mass or mainstream, give the right bundle to the consumer. More importantly, I would say, rather than the product, it's also about the occasion. And sometimes we look at, let's, you know, get a new biscuit or get a new bread. But it's like, you know, what is the need of the consumer? For example, we recently launched a brand called Kindo Mojo. Interestingly, I saw the Mojo Cafe also next to the studio. We launched Kindo Mojo, and it started where the consumer said that I am on the move. And our research also tells us that regular meals are going down. Snacking is going up. So people want something which is convenient and which they can have on the go, and which can satiate their a little bit that hunger and also is tasty. So they want everything.
Well, what is that product exactly?
It's a custard filled pocket sandwich.
Okay.
And our tagline is Doi Doi Roy Mojo Thoi. Doi Doi Zoi Mojo Thoi. Pardon me for my Vietnamese. But when a little bit hunger strikes,
is it like a dessert kind of sweet snack, or is it like a lunch?
No,
or
it's a small portion.
Savory
gram.
Or
no, it's a savory, a sweet, okay. As we call it. Okay, it's okay. A bit of a sweet and savory.
I see.
Should try it out for sure.
Okay, I will. Yeah, excellent. Well, you know, product innovation. Okay, that's a given. It's a must for a company to continue to stay on top of trends and fads and all that. Marketing, obviously, the head of marketing director of Mondelez Kinh Do Vietnam. How do you approach innovation in a marketing sense? I mean, there's the technical elements, but you know, that's the more boring stuff. Let's talk about the communication elements.
Absolutely.
How do you stay on top of that innovation, especially in the context of Vietnam, where, you know, it seems like everybody wants a music video? Is that innovative necessarily anymore, though? And if it is, how do you innovate on that? We'd love to hear your comments on that.
Oh, that's so fascinating, and thank you for asking me that question, because as a marketeer, and, you know, of course, as when it goes to communication, it's so interesting because the landscape in Vietnam is very different. When it comes to entertainment, the consumers here want soap operas, they want music videos. When it comes to advertising, consumers want information.
Really?
You know, it's not really that entertaining. But I would say it's a bit of what many advertisers and marketeers are presenting to the audience. And I think we can do something better on that front. I personally feel so. But to your point of, you know, innovation, for example. See, the classic and traditional way of doing marketing or advertising would be, have a brief and make a 30-second or 20-second communication and put it out. I mean, it is still relevant. I won't say it's not relevant to create awareness. But how can you bring the message, the messenger, and the medium together? And when these three things come together, you know, a classic can be born, or let's say it could be great activation. What I mean is, message could be a proposition, messenger could be your KOL or your KOC, as we call it today, and medium could be, you know, for example, a TV or a TikTok or a Facebook or a YouTube. So it's not necessary that communication or advertising has to start from a creative guy in the office of the creative agency. It can start with either the messenger. It can either start with, for example, the medium. And our approach is that let's be open. Let's nurture the ecosystem. And let's, you know, keep partnering with them. Because that if there is a technology unlock on a particular medium, that itself could be a great marketing hook. So That's how we are approaching it. And we want to innovate, we want to try and experiment many different things right now.
We talk about trends a lot, and as mentioned previously, and COVID has, for the most part, ended here and there, of course, still. Mm-hmm. But it's created and somehow maintained a wave of healthier living, healthier snacking, especially.
Yeah.
Snacks have traditionally not been associated with healthy stuff.
Yeah.
But the last 2 years, it has in a lot of ways, too.
Yeah.
How has that reflected in your team's thinking in Vietnam about healthy snacking? Is it a fad? Is it a trend? Is it something you got to keep riding, because the numbers clearly show that there's a sustained interest? We'll love to hear your comments on that.
The trend was always there. Mm. People were trying to seek out something which is more healthy, and the word healthy, not just in the healthy way, but it could be better for you also.
Mm.
It could be something which is around very functional nutrition. But I think what has happened is that COVID actually dramatically changed that game. In the last 3 years. And I would say more than just having a healthy and a snack which is nutritious, consumers are moving towards what we have identified as mindfulness.
Mm.
So we have a concept called mindful snacking. Now, what does that mean? That basically means you're aware of what you're having, mm-hmm. firstly. Secondly, when you're having it, have it with all your senses there.
Mm-hmm.
Mindlessly don't eat it.
Mm.
And we try to promote it in many ways through our packaging. So you have to be very mindful, when you're snacking. I think that has gone up quite a lot.
Mm.
So the things that we are looking at, consumers are becoming more conscious about what is the nutritional element. So, we work with the government, and I think Vietnam government is pushing a lot on that front.
Information,
labels on the pack. Fortification of, for example, wheat or, the ingredients that you're putting up into your products. I would say that that's basic, because that has to be there. So majority of our brands, whether it is AFC, whether it is Cozy, whether it is Solite, they all are in that space of, health and nutrition with a balance of taste. And we continue to do more of that. And we are, investing a lot in terms of the research and development. Not only at our end, but even at our supplier's end, in how can we provide, much more nutritional snacks.
So you mentioned being more mindful.
Being more mindful.
You have to keep enjoying yourself, of course.
Yeah.
Like that's a principle I have as well. You never want to sacrifice anything. It's just being more understanding, hey, it's okay to enjoy at all times, but
absolutely.
Don't eat 10 Oreos in one sitting,
Yeah, don't eat. It's such a simple thing. Food, you eat first by your eyes, then you eat by your nose,
exactly.
Then you taste it.
Mm.
Keep your phone aside, focus on that, 15-20 minutes of eating. But if you're mindlessly eating, so that could be a problem. But inherently, the way snacks were being seen, let's say 10 years back, that I'm having it because I skipped my meal. And that's why I was feeling guilty. And that's where somewhere, the consumers were touting snacks to be unhealthy or bad. But today, our research tells us that 62% of consumers are replacing at least one of their meals in the day with a snack. So now it's not about feeling guilty of skipping that, but it is more to us to provide the right snack. And that's also our mission, the right snack for the right moment, made the right way. That's what Mondelez believes in.
Oh, okay, excellent. And those 62% number you mentioned, and even aside from that number, the consumers in Vietnam, obviously it's massive, especially young people.
Yeah.
For example, do you know this term called Henry's? Have you ever heard of that term?
Henry's.
You never heard of this term?
And
so it stands for high earning, not rich yet.
Oh, high earning, not rich yet.
And also potential Henrys. So they're between the age of 16 to 24, let's say, right? So this potential Henrys audience. So I see that. I see the surprise. You're, oh, cool.
No, I'm not surprised.
Or not surprised, but like, oh, that's a new way of categorizing.
There is another term for that,
Okay.
Which we use, sinks and dinks.
Sinks and dinks?
Which is single income, no kids.
Oh,
double
income,
no kids.
Okay, yeah.
Basically, it means the same thing. Which means I'm earning.
Yes.
But
but you're not having to spend on like a baby or something or a house or whatever.
Different.
I mean, it's a new way of thinking
exactly.
Or about family and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Henrys and the one you just... Can you say it again one more time? Single
income, no kids.
Single income, no kids. Okay.
Double income, no kids.
Okay, got it.
Basically, there's a trend which is happening in many developed worlds and in a lot of emerging markets.
Of course. they don't have five babies anymore.
They don't have five babies. Sometimes they don't even have a baby. So it's like you're earning, both of you are earning, and you know, you don't have.
That's a great way to put it. Okay, so Sinks and Henrys. anyway, so bring it Henrys too, because potential ones between the age of 16 and 24, the national exam was taken 2 months ago, national exit exam for high school students. And I think it was like 1.1 million took the national exam. So basically there's 1.1 million new like 18-year-olds basically in Vietnam every year forecasted for the next few years. And of that, a large number of them, these are just signals that I pulled out, if something like 90% took the English proficiency component of that exam. And that is by far the largest percentage of any year before before that, but also even at a regional level. What does that mean for, you know, you mentioned information is becoming so much more important. And it's great to see these signals of young people having just indicators. English language is one thing, but the performance on their exams is higher and higher and higher. How do you guys think about communicating to this audience? Are they still love their music videos and TikTok videos, but how do they think about information, these Sinks and Henrys?
Oh my. See, I think in this question, there are many questions. Mm. So let me try and tackle it one by one. See, firstly, I'll talk about the population. Of course, the average median age in Vietnam is 32, 31.7. So it's a young country. Interestingly, and I am amazed and my congratulations to the country, I've never seen such equality when it comes to gender everywhere that I've traveled, which also means a lot of women are in workforce, which traditionally you would say, oh, women are going to be at home and cooking. But no, they are at work. You know, it's a young population on the move. So snacking is automatically going up because of that reason. The second point you spoke about the Henrys and of course the Ninks, you know, and they are on out there. You know, again, what I'm seeing is that people or the consumers are having this dual phenomena. I want to be global, but I want to be rooted into local. In majority of the economies and big markets, there's a rise of both, which basically means, yes, I want to know what's happening across the world, and internet is opening up that, you know, I want to understand politics, I want to understand drama, theater, you know, music, everything. And hence the language comes into play. That's why I see more and more people, you know, today in my team, there are 24 people in marketing. There is no problem at all anybody speaking in English as fluently as I'm talking to you. But at the same time, there is this thing that we are rooted into the Vietnam culture. You know, we still, you know, family values, our traditions, you know, the way we celebrate our festivals, the way we want to enjoy that food, that's not going anywhere else. So it's the rise of both things. The third point, you know, you mentioned about that, how do you like tackle to these, you know, and this music videos and TikToks and stuff like that. Today's generation is the smartest that I have seen. Very smart and very intelligent. I spoke to you about mindfulness. The second thing I want to speak to is meaningfulness. See, they're very clear what is meaningful and what is entertainment. So there's this time for entertainment, entertain, move ahead. But in the long term, if brands or companies, or I would say even we as people, are not going to be meaningful, are not going to add value, you know, to each other or to this environment or to the community in a meaningful way, we are not going to be there in their memories. What I'm trying to say is that today's consumer, while, I mean, they are more conscious about climate, they're more conscious about food wastage, they're more conscious about, you know, their own rights, I would say. They're more conscious about diversity, independence of thought. So brands, if they are going to do only entertainment, they're going to fail. Entertainment could be a medium, but entertainment cannot be the message. So the brands which will continue to stay with the consumers or talk to them in a much more meaningful way, they will stay with the brand for the longer time.
Well, I would say you guys have that. You have the mantle, in the sense, you know, bring together, come together, etc. It's been a household synergy for a very long time. I think the mindfulness thing is particularly very strong when combined with that, and that's definitely innovative. I haven't heard of that. I mean, articulated that way.
The meaningfulness you're saying or the mindfulness?
Well, both, when combined.
Both. Yeah, both when combined.
Yeah.
We recently did a campaign on Cozy, I think 2 months back. And that's the time when the country was opening up, you know, back in the March. And we call it Liven Up campaign. And we just put some compliments on the pack. Come on. Lam tot lam.
It's gratefulness or something. Yeah.
Exactly. That campaign did so well as compared to if I would have given a 15%, 20% extra. Now, not to say that pricing and value at some point is not important. But if a pack could be just a simple message of saying thank you to someone or be courteous or, you know, give a compliment in this world when, you know, everything is so transient and so selfish, if I may say. You know, a brand stands for it. They resonated beautifully to it. And yeah, it was an experiment which we are happy, which worked for us.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. I think all these new campaigns and projects, especially you having just arrived a few months ago, what does that mean for the team and makeup of Mondelez Kendo moving forward? You mentioned you have 24 teammates.
Yeah.
I always like to ask, sorry, towards the end of our podcast, are you guys hiring? That's a simple, very simple question. What is the makeup of the Mondelez Kendo team look like?
Yeah, so I think the team is pretty good, pretty dynamic. We are very, and as a culture, Mondelez is very open, inclusive. We believe in diversity,
meaningful,
inclusivity.
Mindful.
More importantly, open to, I mean, we also work in a very autonomous way. So it's not like that because I'm leading the function, my thought is the, or my viewpoint is the last viewpoint. You can put your viewpoint, and if it's a fantastic idea, take it ahead, move on. We are ready to take punts and risks. What we are looking at, diversity of not only gender, we are looking at diversity of thought. So we want, I mean, yes, we are hiring, we are open, people want to connect to us. I mean, through this medium, I would want to invite people. They can reach out to me for a coffee. We can definitely have a chat because we are hungry for ideas. We are hungry for talent. We are hungry for anything which is interesting. I think the team, as far as you asked me, I think they have taken a good care of me, I would say, rather than me, you know, right now contributing to them. And I'm very thankful because I come from a different country, different part. I never felt, you know, as an alien. So yes, we have a fantastic chemistry going on in the team, and that's evident in the work that we are doing.
Well, you heard it from Samir himself. If you'd like to get a coffee with him, we'll drop his LinkedIn in the comments. Samir Yadav, the marketing director of Mondelez Kendo, Vietnam. Anything else you would like to share to our audience that's listening in and tuning in today, Samir?
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a good conversation, as I said, that, you know, happy to listen. I mean, happy to reach out to anyone who wants to catch up and chat up. But yeah, I mean, I would say we have great brands and we invest in great brands and we invest in people. So yes, if you have a great idea, if you have a great thought, and if you have a can-do attitude, you know, we are happy to have you with us.
And if you want to learn more about Sinks and Henry's, Samir and myself are always available for that. Samir, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome to Vietnam again. Big welcome to you, and best of luck to Mondelez Kendo Vietnam and all the projects and things you guys are working on. I love the project, mindfulness, meaningfulness, great initiatives. Can't wait to hear to see how that rolls out over the coming years. Thank you to those listening and tuning in.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Al. Thank you for this interaction. And yeah, thanks to the audiences for hopefully listening to us.
Excellent. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Viglacera Corporation is the largest real estate and building materials group in Vietnam, as well as the largest industrial park operator in Vietnam. 48 years of excellence makes Viglacera a leading full-service provider of sustainable and high-quality building materials. Having a total of 40 subsidiaries, Viglacera covers the entire real estate and building materials spectrum. You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.